Luke chapter 4, verse 38 to 44. Hear the word of the Lord. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made a request of him concerning her. So he stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into the deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him, and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. This is God's word. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we come now to reading your word, we would ask that you would speak to us. That this evening Christ would preach to us from the pages of scripture. That we would hear his voice and that we would follow him. Lord, this night may we learn of Christ. May we learn of who he is and may we worship him in spirit and in truth. Cause us to be attentive to your word. And Lord, may you make your word live for us. Father, I also pray that you give me strength as I preach, to speak what I ought to speak, and may I know the liberty of your spirit. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Well, tonight we continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke. And it's been a couple of weeks since we have looked at this book. But the last time we looked at this section of God's Word, we saw that Jesus was just beginning his Galilean ministry. And this began by him preaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And while he was preaching in that synagogue, while he was teaching with authority, and as the people sat there amazed at what Christ said, something unusual began to happen. A man in the crowd began to shout. A demon-possessed man, an unsaved church member, began to cry out and rebuke the Christ. And Christ cast the demon out of this man and showed that he had authority over the demons. He speaks and the demons left. And the man was liberated. He was set free because of the power of Christ. And tonight we once again return to Capernaum. We continue the narrative of where Jesus has just finished preaching. The section of God's word we look at tonight commences after the benediction of the sermon in Capernaum. Jesus finishes preaching. He has just delivered a man. He has just set a man free. And Luke now tells us what happens next. The period we have before us in this part of God's word is a period that occurred over 24 hours. It commences on the Jewish Sabbath morning with Jesus preaching in the synagogue, and it goes right through to Sunday morning. 24 hours of ministry for Jesus. And the scholars argue and believe that this was a constant 24 hours of ministry. That Jesus began on the Saturday morning and he didn't finish his ministry until the Sunday morning. It was constant and continuous active ministry. And all the commentators agree that at the end of that, Christ would have been exhausted. In my time in the ministry, there's only been one time where I've had to do 24 hours of ministry straight, and that was for an outreach in Melbourne. And by the end of that ministry, I could have slept anywhere. I felt sorry for the people in the aeroplane next to me as I flew home. I think I snored so much, I must have disrupted the two-hour flight. But I was exhausted. I had nothing compared to what Christ had to do. I didn't have demons screaming at me. I wasn't healing the sick. I did not preach with the same authority that Christ preached with. Yet I was exhausted from simple ministry. Jesus had a lot more ministry. And he was constant in that work. And Luke tells us that in this 24-hour period of ministry, Jesus begins by preaching. He casts the demon out. Then he heals some people. Then more demons get cast out. And then finally he says, this is why I've come to do. This is why I'm here. I'm here to preach the kingdom of God. That is a busy 24-hour ministry schedule. Yet that is what Christ does. And tonight, as we look at the healing ministry of Christ and also the deliverance ministry of Christ, we need to pay careful attention to what God's word says. For those of us who have read the Gospels many times, we would know that healing and deliverance are commonplace in the ministry of Jesus. Every gospel tells us of Jesus healing people, of Jesus casting out devils. It is so frequent in his ministry that we can sometimes just view it as the norm and kind of not get the big picture of what God is telling us. It is very easy for us to be so familiar with the healing ministry of Jesus and Jesus casting out demons that we just read over it quickly. Yet these accounts of healing and deliverance are in God's word for a purpose. They are written to tell us that Jesus has absolute authority. Authority over the physical realm of sickness, but also authority over the spiritual realm. Sickness flees when Christ heals. Demons flee when Christ speaks. Jesus has complete authority. He liberates, he sets people free, and he heals people. And as we look at these accounts, the big picture that we should be seeing is that Christ has come into this world to deal with the root cause of sickness and to deal with the root cause of demonic possession. That is, he has come to deal with sin. Jesus, when he heals people, Jesus, when he casts demons out, shows that he has come to deal with rebellion. He is dealing with a world that is groaning under the bondage of sin. Jesus has authority to deal with these issues because he is the Christ. J.C. Ryle put it this way when commenting on this passage. He said, "This section of God's word tells us that Christ is the true antidote and remedy for all the soul-ruining mischief which Satan has wrought on mankind. Christ is the universal physician to whom all the children of Adam must repair if they want to be made whole. In him is life and health and liberty. This is the grand doctrine which every miracle of mercy in the gospel is ordained and appointed to teach." This is the purpose of these accounts of healing and deliverance. It's to teach us that in Christ there is life. In Christ there is health. In Christ there is liberty. You see, the reason people get sick, the reason that people have health problems in this world is because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is fast bound in sin. We live in a world that is groaning under corruption, that's longing for the day of deliverance. The reason people get demon possessed is again because we lived in a world of sin and they willingly choose to rebel against God. Yet as Luke gives us his accounts of healing, as Luke gives us these accounts of deliverance, we should see the hope, we should see the big picture that Christ has come to deal with the root of all these problems. He's come to deal with sin. He has come to be the antidote and the remedy, as Ryle said, for all these issues. So that's the big picture we have here. But we also get into the nitty-gritty as well. We get to see the finer details of what Christ does. We get to see that he is our healer. We get to see that he is our deliverer. And we get to see that Christ indeed is the preacher of the kingdom of God. And Luke begins by detailing the healing ministry of Jesus in verse 38 to 40. He says these words. "Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those that had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Jesus has just finished his morning sermon in the synagogue, and as was the custom, someone from that congregation would take the teacher home and basically give them fellowship and feed them and look after them for the day. That was the culture, that was the norm. If a visiting speaker came, or even if the regular preacher was there, someone from the congregation would say, "You're coming back to my house. I'm going to feed you, I'm going to look after you, I'm going to make your day easy." And it just so happens, Luke tells us, that the man who put his hand up that day and said, "Come with me, I'm going to look after you," was a man named Simon. Or as we will know him more commonly, Peter, who became the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the sermon is finished. Peter said, "You're coming back to my house. You're going to come with me. You're going to come and eat with me today. You're going to come and dwell in my house." And Jesus goes with him. But when he gets to the home, he finds that Peter's mother-in-law is in bed sick. She is down with a high fever. She wouldn't have been at the synagogue that morning. She was unwell. Something was wrong. She is at home. She is suffering. In that culture, to get a high fever often ended in death. Medical treatment then was nowhere near as what good we have now. People complain about the NHS system in our society. Back then, they would have given their right arm, literally, to have the NHS system. And medical treatment then was primitive. If you got a high fever, not just a fever, but a high fever, things were going poorly for you. When they get home, they find the mother-in-law is very ill. And no doubt concerned by this fact, Peter turns to Christ and asks him to intervene. He asked Jesus to heal his mother-in-law. Now, Peter would have known all about Jesus being a miracle worker. Peter would have heard the accounts of what Jesus had done in his ministry up until this point. Peter would have, sitting in the synagogue, he had just seen that Jesus had authority over the demons. He knew Christ could work miracles. He knew Christ had authority. So he goes to Jesus and he asks him to do something to help. And Jesus hears that request from Peter, and in love and in kindness, he answers that request. He goes into the room where Peter's mother-in-law was. He stands over her, and he rebukes the fever. What's interesting is the word here, "rebukes the fever," is the exact same word that Luke has just used to say that Jesus rebuked the demon. Luke is telling us that Jesus has authority in all things. Just like Jesus spoke to the man who was demon-possessed and told the demons to get out, so he speaks to the fever and tells the illness to get out. And just like the man was set free, so the mother-in-law is set free from this illness. Jesus heals her. Jesus makes her whole. Immediately, at an instant, at a word, Peter's mother-in-law is made well. The fever that prevented her from doing anything, the fever that laid her low, left in an instant. She was restored to full strength. This is not a partial healing. This is not Jesus saying, "Hey, I've rebuked the fever, now you rest easy, and in a couple of days you will feel better." That's not how Christ heals. When Christ healed this woman, it was immediate and it was total. He brought her to complete wellness. It was a complete healing. Now, some people today would say that when Jesus heals, he didn't always heal with completion. Yet that is not what we see demonstrated here in Luke's gospel. Some people today who would claim to have the gift of healing and claim to be healers would say that they can only heal people partially, and if they have faith at a later date, that person may be brought to full health. We don't see Christ doing that. We don't even see the mother-in-law having faith. If she was in a high fever, she may not have been aware that Jesus was present. Yet Christ speaks, and she's made well. It's not a case of her having enough faith to be healed. It's not a case of receive a full healing at a later date. No, this was immediate. It was instant. It was at the word of Christ. Jesus rebukes the fever, and it leaves. There's a massive change in this woman. One minute she's laid low, she can't do anything. The next minute Luke tells us she arose and she served them. I've recovered from fevers before. The first thing I want to do when I start getting over a fever is not move for a few days, just to make sure I'm really over it. But this woman has been completely transformed by the word of Christ. Immediately she arises, she's got energy, she's back to strength, and she responds in the right way to the work of Jesus. She serves him. Immediately she gets up, she responds to the healing, she responds to the miracle by serving Christ. I think Peter would have been pretty impressed with this. His mother-in-law, who was on death's door, was healed totally by Jesus. Jesus has authority over sickness. Now, word of this healing must have got around the town pretty quickly, because Luke goes on to tell us that when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. As the sun was going down, as the Jewish Sabbath came to an end, a crowd of people began to make their way to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law is probably thinking, I don't have enough tea and coffee for these people. I've just been made whole. I'm serving people. Now there's a crowd of sick people coming to the house to see Jesus. Word of the healing spread like wildfire. Word of Jesus having authority to heal the sick went throughout the region. And Luke tells us people with various diseases came to Christ to be healed. There would have been people that walked to Christ with their issues. There would have been people that were carried to Christ who couldn't have made their own way there. Various sicknesses, various diseases, various illnesses, all coming to Peter's house. It would be the sort of place that you wouldn't want to attend because you might catch something. That's how many different diseases would have been there. Yet they all come to Jesus. And even though Jesus has been active all day in the ministry, even though he would have been tired because he was a man just like we are, he still has compassion on them. He still has kindness towards them. They come to him asking for help, and Christ responds by putting his hands on them and healing them. Now this would have been a big no-no in the Jewish culture. If someone's sick, if someone's got a disease, you don't touch them because then you become unclean as well. Yet Christ lays his hands upon them and he makes them whole. He heals them. He sets them free from their disease. He sets them free from their illness. He brings them to full strength. All the people with various diseases, Christ made whole. He didn't go through and selectively choose who he was going to heal in this crowd. No, he healed them all. This stands in stark contrast to people today who claim to be healers. People today who claim to have the gift of healing or be healers will not lay hands on every single person and every various kinds of disease to heal them. I made passing mention this morning to a Benny Hinn crusade in Brisbane that I attended. Now, Benny Hinn likes to make himself out to be a healer. That's his thing. He claims to be able to heal people. And a few years ago, when I got the VIP tickets to attend this event, I got to sit in the stadium seating behind the stage. And it was a great spot. You could see everything. You could see what was happening in the stage, and you could see the line of sick people who were coming to Benny for healing. But what was interesting is at the front of this line, there was these big black American security guards, big boys, the sort of guys you wouldn't want to mess with. These were solid men, and they would sort through who actually got to go on stage to have Benny lay hands on them. And the interesting thing was, if someone rolled up in a wheelchair, they weren't allowed on stage. If someone came up with limbs missing, they weren't allowed on stage. When blind people responded, again, they weren't let up. Their security would turn them around and send them back to their seats. As I watched the line, I noticed that one man fell to the ground holding his chest, and Queensland Ambulance Service had to go and render assistance to him. Never once did this so-called healer come off the stage, lay his hands on this man, and heal him. He wasn't like Christ. Christ laid hands on everyone, and he healed all those who came to him. Benny and his cronies wouldn't do that because they'd soon be shown up for being a fraud. It's hard to fake a healing when someone's missing a limb. It's hard to say someone's received sight when they're still blind. It's hard to say this man hasn't had a heart attack when they've got the defib on him, trying to make sure he's okay. See, Christ healed all kinds of diseases. He didn't say, Peter, you go out there and choose the easy ones, the people with the neck pain, the back pain, that no one can verify. He didn't do that. They all came to him, and he made them all whole. He healed them of various diseases. Every one of them came to him, and he healed them all. He had authority over all sickness and all ailments. Christ had complete authority. And as we look at this passage, we should rejoice that our Saviour has authority to heal. And the natural question that should arise as we look at the healing ministry of Jesus is, does Jesus still heal today? And I would answer by saying yes. While I wouldn't say there are healers and people with the gift of healing running around, I believe God in his sovereignty and according to his will can and does heal people. It's his prerogative who he heals. And ultimately, every Christian is going to be healed one day when they get to heaven anyway. So we should pray for the sick. We should pray for those who are unwell. And we should ask God to heal them because he can do that. And he still does do that. Because Jesus still has authority over sickness. But as Jesus is healing people, Luke starts to tell us that Jesus also had authority over the demons. He goes back to the demon issue and shows that Jesus is the liberator. Look at verse 41. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. As the crowds flocked to Jesus for healing, as people brought people to Jesus to be healed, it soon became clear that physical healing was not the only thing they needed. Some in the crowd did not have physical problems, but their health issues were in relation to spiritual problems. And the reason that they had certain illness and the reason they had certain sickness was because they were possessed by demons. Well, it may be unpopular to say this today. I think we can see from the weight of biblical evidence that some ailments, some sickness, some diseases have their genesis in the demonic realm. They are a direct result of demon possession. Now, some Christians would say we don't have to worry about that today because since Jesus died and rose again, demon possession doesn't occur anymore. But Peter, who wrote after Jesus died and rose again, still said Satan is roaming about the world as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't think we can say biblically that these things don't happen today. I think much of what we can see, especially the area of mental health, not all, but some areas, are demonic in their nature. A friend of mine who works in mental health said it's terrifying, some of the things she has seen. Some of the things that people do and come up with. That you quickly medicate and hope it goes away, but then she says medication doesn't always work. And the biblical answer is that it could be demonic in its origin. And we see Luke saying that some of these things that needed to be healed were because of demons. And the scripture says that as they came to Jesus, Jesus showed he had authority over them as well. Not only does he have authority over the physical realm, but he has authority over the spiritual realm. And the demons came out of the people crying out and screaming, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." They knew who Jesus was. They recognized Christ. They had a face-to-face encounter with God in flesh. They recognized him and they screamed that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ. They knew that he is the Son of God. He is the long-awaited Savior. They yell that, they shout that, but Christ stops them. Christ does not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And the question we need to ask is, why would Jesus do that? These demons are coming out saying, you are the Son of God, you are the Christ, which is a true statement. But Jesus silences them because they knew who he was. Why did he do that? R. Kent Hughes, in his commentary, argues that Jesus silenced the demons because by them shouting that he is the Christ, they were trying to show that they had knowledge and power and authority, that they could recognize what the other people couldn't recognize. But by Jesus silencing them, it shows that he has complete authority over any demonic power. Moreover, Jesus silences them for a very practical reason, John MacArthur argues, because it doesn't look good to have a demon going around saying that's who he is. It kind of creates confusion. If you've got a demon shouting, he is the Christ, he is the Son of God, people start going, hang on, if the demons are endorsing your ministry, can we really say you're of God? So MacArthur argues it's a practical reason. Hughes argues it's a spiritual reason to show that Jesus has authority. And I think both are correct. There's a practical element, then there's a spiritual element. Jesus silences them from speaking because he does not want them testifying of who he is. It would look really bad, but his actions speak louder than words. They come out screaming and Christ says, be silent. He has authority over them. And then Luke tells us finally that after a long night of ministry, Jesus declares why he came. Look at the fact that Jesus is the preacher. Verse 42 to 44. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. It started when the sun was going down, the healing ministry. The day of Jesus began 24 hours earlier, 12 hours after that, the healing commenced. And now Luke says the sun is up yet again. Jesus has been ministering throughout the night. He has been on the go for 24 hours. He would have been exhausted. Remember, Jesus is fully God and fully man. He was a human just like us, so he would have been confined by the same extent of exhaustion that we feel. Jesus is tired. He is worn out. So he does what he always does when he gets tired. He goes to a deserted place. He pulls aside by himself. He goes somewhere to rest, and as the other Gospels say, he does this so that he might commune with his Father, that he might pray, that he might worship, because that is where the true energy for ministry comes from. Not from having a day off, but by going to the source of the ministry, going to God himself. And Christ pulls aside to spend time with his Heavenly Father, to worship and to recover. Yet the crowds weren't going to let him do that. Luke says the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. Jesus goes to a deserted place. He goes to somewhere where no one is. But what does the crowd do? Where is Jesus? He's not in the towns. Let's go look in the middle of nowhere. And they find him. And they beg him not to leave, but to stay in Capernaum, to stay in the region of Galilee. Stay here preaching. Stay here teaching. Set up your healing ministry headquarters over there. People can come to you. You stay in this region, is what they wanted Christ to do. But Christ replies and says, no, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. You see, Christ shows his authority not just in one region, but he has authority in all other cities. And he says, I must go to the other cities to preach there also. This is the purpose of my coming. The purpose of Jesus coming to this earth was to go to all people groups, to all cities, to preach, to heal, to set free, to deliver the captives. Jesus in Luke chapter 4 has already told us that is his purpose of coming. That he has been called to set to proclaim liberty to the captives, to heal the brokenhearted, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed. This is why he came. But that declaration, that role, that purpose is not for one region, but it's for all regions. The message of liberty, the message of freedom that is in Christ is not confined to a regional area. But I must go to the other cities, because for this purpose I have been sent. And this work of Christ, this purpose of Christ, is still ongoing. He said he came to preach, and he still does preach. In fact, Christ preaches here tonight. Every time we open his word, Christ preaches. When we read his word, Christ is preaching. Christ must preach in the other cities. Christ is preached in Perth tonight because his word has been read and proclaimed, not just here, but in numerous churches. Christ has authority to preach and continue to preach. Every time we open the Bible in a pulpit, in the marketplace, in our personal devotions, in our family times, Christ would preach. He would preach, for that is the purpose that he came. That is the purpose of him coming to this earth, to preach the message of salvation, to preach the message of deliverance, to preach a message that says he has authority and that he can set the captives free. And even though we read an account of Christ doing this 2,000 years ago, Christ is still in the business of setting people free tonight. He can still have authority over the physical realm. He still has authority over the spiritual realm. He still sets people free because that is his work and that is his purpose of coming. And his ultimate freedom came because of what he did on the cross. Jesus came to deal with the problem of sin, the cause of illness, the cause of demonic oppression. That was sin. He dealt with it at the cross when he bled and died for sinners. And when he rose again from the dead. And now he gives liberty to all those who come to him. He gives freedom to all those who respond to him. This was the purpose of his coming. I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. You see, as we look at this section of Luke's gospel, we must sit back and go, our Saviour has authority. No one compares. No one has authority but Jesus. All authority has been given to him. The physical and the spiritual. So that he could set people free. Not just in one city, but in the other cities also. We take comfort from this. That our Saviour is still in control. And he's still working this very night. May Christ continue to preach in all places throughout this world. And may he continue to heal and set people free. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that we can read in your word tonight of your work and your authority. Lord, may we humbly bow to what you say in your word. And may we submit to your will and your way. Lord, we praise you for the fact that you still preach, that you still proclaim, and that every time your word is read, your kingdom is advancing. Oh Lord, would you continue to bless the proclamation of your word throughout all nations, and may you continue to set the captives free. Oh Lord, would you do this for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen.